You're listening to The Zen Courses Show, episode 55. Welcome to The Zen Courses Show, the show for online course creators who care about building actionable, meaningful, and profitable online courses. If you're a solo entrepreneur, tech geek, or creative, The Zen Courses Show is the place to get expert advice for creating your online course, overcoming overwhelm, and growing a balanced business. To get the full experience, sign up at zencourses.co, where you'll get access to free lessons, resources, and more. Again, that's zencourses.co. What's up, everyone? My guest today is Megan O'Toole, digital strategist and online course creator. Megan, welcome to the Zen Courses Show.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's good to be here.
I'm really excited to chat with you. But before we get into it, what exactly is a digital strategist?
Oh, boy. So a digital strategist, it's funny because a digital strategist in different industries means different things. So the way in which I look at it is, and the way that I've come to learn about it is, it's somebody that sort of looks at your online presence holistically. They look at marketing, they look at design, they look at your website, they look at the tools you're using to make your business run smoother. When you ask different people in different fields, they'll probably have a different answer, but that's mine. It's really that I look at small businesses holistically. You know, I look at their marketing strategy, their website, their social media, their newsletter, what tools they're using behind the scenes to make things smoother and kind of help them connect it all.
Yeah. Okay, cool. That gives me a bit of a clearer picture because I was just trying to figure it out. And also I know people listening are going to wonder. So
yeah, it's just one of those terms that's kind of bandied about, but nobody has really nailed it down. It's kind of like, you know, community manager, like that means different things to different people. But, you know, like sometimes people say, oh, you're a social media strategist. It's like, no, I'm not. Right. Like I do a lot of different things. It's really like digital strategy is like really what those two words together. It's like this, your digital strategy, right, like how you look at your digital presence as a whole.
Okay. Got it. That makes perfect sense. Yeah. So we were chatting about this earlier, but you are in Boston, right? Or just outside of Boston?
Yep. Outside of Boston in the burbs. Never, ever. I'm a city girl and I never would have thought I'd live in the burbs, but I love it.
Isn't it funny how that happens? I was watching this show the other day and it was about farming and I was just like, oh, that looks so nice.
Yeah,
I'm in Chicago, but I just was so enamored by farm life.
I've lived in London and San Francisco and Oakland and Worcester, Mass and Boston. And I was living in Roxbury in Boston when I first moved back from the Bay Area. And I loved it, but it just got noisy. And then I spent 3 weeks in rural Connecticut. Mm-hmm. And I came home and I was like, that's it. I'm out.
Gotcha. One visit to Connecticut just took you out of the city.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, if you told me 10 years ago I would be living in the burbs and loving it, I would have laughed in your face.
Things change. Okay, it is time for the rapid five. Five quick questions to help listeners get to know you. Are you ready?
Yep.
All right. Number one, cats or dogs?
Oh, boy. Both.
Okay. Okay. You're the first person to say both.
I have two cats and one dog.
Ah, okay. I got it. So you're not just like, one person said both, but she's like, but I have dogs, but you are actually living it. Okay.
Yep.
Cool. Yeah. Number two, what is your favorite song out right now?
Oh God. I don't even know. Like, I don't really listen to music anymore. And that's another thing that's really changed for me. Hmm. Yeah. I feel like I've just really killed my young self off by saying like, I have no idea.
Okay. Let me change it up. Just for you, special edition. What is your favorite song of all time?
Oh, I love Adele. Like, yeah. I'm one of those people that like, I'm like a fanatic for her. So anything that she does, and then I love Prince, you know, and I love hip hop and, I love all different types of stuff. Like, I love Crosby, Stills, and Nash. But, like, if I had to choose, like, a Desert Island Disc, it would probably be an Adele album.
Okay. That's fair. Yeah. Adele is pretty marvelous. She's just amazing.
Yeah. All right. She's so down to earth, you know? I think that's another reason why I love her so much.
Yeah, she's very grounded. I love that about her. Okay. Number three, name your go-to comfort food.
Oh, mashed potatoes.
Okay. Mashed potatoes. Just or, like, any kind of way or?
Maybe with gravy and some butter. Okay. But I also really love mac and cheese.
Oh, yeah. I'm a big mac and cheese person.
Yeah. I've been making it with this new recipe with spicy peppers. And oh, so good.
All right. We're going to stop talking about that right now, Megan. So number four, if you could have one superpower, but no one knew about it, what would it be?
Oh, that's a good one. I think I'd probably want to fly.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be fun.
Cool. And the last one, number five, what is the hardest lesson you have learned as an entrepreneur?
Oh, that failure is part of the process.
Yeah.
Totally. Like, that's so real, you know, like it's actually a necessary.
Yep. Totally agree. All right. So what is your story, Megan? How did you come to leave the cushy corporate life? Because I know you worked at Yahoo and Wired magazine. How did you come to leave that life and become the strategist behind MeganO'Toole.com?
Well, I should back up a little bit. So I was only in the corporate tech world for 2 years. And prior to that, I worked in high-end retail. And so that was sort of the trajectory of my life, was that I wanted to have my own boutique for women. I'm really interested in design and, you know, small designers making clothing and jewelry. And in 2005, I purchased my first MacBook and it just rocked my world. I started through MySpace. I started teaching myself how to, like, because you could hack social platforms back then, you can't anymore. And so I would, like, hack my, like, background and make, like, you know, GIFs that moved. And so I started teaching myself all this stuff. And fast forward, I ended up building this blog dedicated to women artists and makers, and I ended up living off it. And in 2010, Yahoo approached me to come work for them. And so I fell into the tech world like that. Like, I had, you know, I'd been living and working on sales floors like my entire life. Yeah. And so I, you know, did this blog as like a side gig, but by 2010, I was living off it. I was doing a podcast. I was doing interviews where I would go to New York or San Francisco and, you know, shoot photos of people. And so I had about 3 million views in 2010. It was doing really well. And I was kind of burned out. Like, I didn't know how to take it to the next level. And Yahoo approached me. And long story short, I started working at Yahoo. Didn't work there for long, maybe 6 months. It was not a good fit. Mm-hmm. Just very, very corporate, very sexist, very white male. And at the time, I didn't realize that that's what was going on. I thought I just didn't fit in.
Yeah.
And now I realize, like, with all the talk about, you know, Silicon Valley and how sexism is pretty rife, it was like, oh, that's what was going on. So that's really kind of helped me as a woman, like, really understand what I want in business and how I want to help other women. So I went on to work for Wikipedia's for-profit community site called Wikia, which is now Fandom. And then I went on to work for Wired magazine, and it was about 2 years. And, you know, I loved working at Wikia. Those definitely were my people. And I was a community manager there and learned a lot, but the bookends, Yahoo and Wired, it just wasn't for me.
Yeah.
And I got laid off from Wired and kind of didn't know what to do. And I knew that I wanted to get back to blogging, but I didn't want to do the art blog. I was just, like, done with talking to people about their art. And and people that I knew in San Francisco said, you know, you have these skills that, like, small businesses, artists, makers, you know, other just small businesses don't know. Like, you're a gatekeeper, basically. You have this information and you should start to share it with people as a consultant. So that's what I did. I started my business in the fall of 2012 and just been chugging along ever since. And now I help professionals, small businesses establish themselves online, business strategy, online marketing strategy. And yeah, I love it.
Yeah. There's a lot there. I totally relate to, it's something that happens when you start doing your own thing. Like you can never be an employee again.
Yep. I mean, and I'm sure you can relate to this because I know when we first started chatting, like there have been some points where I've been kind of burned out, you know, and I'm like, I just want to work at a 9-to-5 where I don't have to think, you know, like all day long. Like I just clock in and clock out. And I'm like, that's not me though. Like I'll get there, I'll get that job and then I'll start seeing what I can do better and what I can change. And I mean, that's just how I work, you know?
Absolutely. It's something, it's just, there's so much evolution involved with being an entrepreneur that you just can't go back. It's sad. I've had to turn some opportunities down because I just know it's not going to be good. It's not going to be good for you. It's not going to be good for me. Let's just not do it.
That is so true. It's so true. I also find like office politics like so toxic. Like it's rare that you can work in an office where, like when I worked at Wikia, it was a really great atmosphere. It was a startup culture, but people were really cool. Whereas like at some of the other places I've worked, it was just different.
And different is the operative word.
Yeah.
Okay. So we are here to talk about your course, Anatomy of a Newsletter. Can you give us an overview of what it's about?
Yeah. So just so you know, I have two courses. Yep. I told you that. But Anatomy of a Newsletter it's basically sort of an intro into email marketing for small businesses. And so one of the things that I've noticed when I've been working with people around email and social media is that they think that social media is where they're going to make sales. And that's not true, you know, and especially now with like organic reach way down, like, you know, social media is a great place to build a following, to build recognition, get your name out there, build relationships. But as in terms of like really making consistent sales, it's hard work. And it's, you know, if you're just starting out, it's not going to happen. And so what I see is that people tend to feel like they're failing because they're not selling on social media. And it's like, well, it doesn't work like that. You know, you've got to build up your social media following and then you move those people to your newsletter. And that's where you start to warm up your audience. And that's where you can really build those relationships, make sales, you know, really monetize. And a lot of people don't know that. So I wanted to put together a course that sort of educates people on why having a newsletter strategy is so imperative for small businesses nowadays. Because, you know, like I said, social media is where you get your message across, and newsletter marketing is really where you solidify those relationships. And with social media, you can, you know, you can talk about your message all you want, but only a fraction of your audience sees it. Whereas when you email people, it's more personal, it's more intimate. They get to choose when they're going to read your email. It gets to a much bigger percentage of your audience, you know. And then also, like we all know, you don't own your social media profiles, right? Like, so you own your list. And that's why it's really important that people aren't, you know, they are spending, excuse me, it's important that they spend time on social media, but they should also be really focusing on newsletter strategy. So Anatomy of a Newsletter is really all about like building a foundation, understanding how often you should be sending, what you should, you know, how like it's okay to sell. I work with a lot of women, and oftentimes there's a lot of fear of being annoying.
Yeah.
Or too salesy. And I feel like that's kind of our issues as like marketers. Like marketers have done a really good job at like ruining marketing. So there's a lot of talk about that in the course too. Like that people sign up for your list because they actually want to hear from you.
Yep. Yep. I'm so glad you said that. And I did know you had another course, but this is so important because a lot of people shy away from committing to growing their newsletter, launching a newsletter even.
Yep.
And it is, everything you said is absolutely true. So, you know, sometimes I like to have someone else say it, you know, social media, you're not going to sell. The conversion rates on social media are so low if you're trying to sell there.
Yep.
Focus on email marketing. That is where you're going to make your sales. So thank you for saying that. And that is exactly why I wanted to have you on the show. So how do you deal with resistance to, you know, the people who either resist starting a newsletter because they feel like it's hard, or they feel like they have trouble with being consistent? How do you help them there?
That's such a good question. I think education. You know, it's really, I deal with a lot of people that are kind of just starting out and like cutting their chops in business. So maybe they've been in business for a year or 2 years. I work with anybody from like around a year to 7 years in business. And I think it's really all about education. I've been really coming back to this saying, like, you don't know what you don't know. Yeah. And that there's a lot of assumptions that happen. I think it's just natural as humans for us to make assumptions around things. And I don't know if insecure is the right word, but I just think that I just work around educating people. Like, I start with talking to them about social media, why social media is important, but also how noisy it is, yeah. You know, and I kind of lay it out for them. Like, you know, social media is a great way, like basically what I just said to you, like, it's a great way for you to share, you know, what's going on in your business, but not everybody is going to see it. I also break it down, you know, that you don't own your platform. Like, you don't own your audience on Instagram. So, Twitter, Facebook. And, you know, I point to specific happenings within social media. So like one would be, you know, when Facebook changed the algorithm in 2012 and like, brand pages, business pages, basically their organic reach, like, dropped way down, right? And like, I knew businesses that had sort of built their entire business on their social, on their Facebook brand page. And then all of a sudden, you know, Facebook just cut them off at the knees. So I use that. I use like Twitter as an example. Like, Twitter has sort of turned into this like political hot mess, like in the past couple years. Mm-hmm. There's like a lot of rage on there. And, you know, a lot of creative businesses can't really find their place there anymore. And it wasn't like that, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. Yeah. And so I use these examples of like how things change, you know, and like that's going to happen to Instagram too. So, you know, you have to constantly be evolving in business. And I try to sort of approach that in a gentle way, because I think people that are new to business that don't maybe have like the entrepreneurial spirits that we do, that exhausts them when they hear that like you have to constantly be evolving. So I try to approach that kind of gently. And then, you know, I talk to them about email marketing and how like it's the best way to communicate, and like the open rates can, you know, you can create really healthy open rates, whereas not everybody on social media sees your posts.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's so much. And then you're just in a sea of everyone else posts, you know, you're right. So many distractions. But, you know, I think that to your point about people getting exhausted, one of the things, like, it's comforting if you think about it in a different way, to know that you really can just focus on one thing primarily.
Totally.
Instead of trying to do 50 things, which I think is a common complaint, and it's a common occurrence with new entrepreneurs. They try to do everything. And then, you know, it's no wonder that we get burnt out when we're trying to be 50 things at one time.
Yeah, email, niche down.
Yeah, email is where it's at. So good stuff. So let's dig into your course a little bit. The first question I had is, you know, why did you decide to create this course? Was it something that people were asking you questions about, or was it a gut feeling? Where did the motivation come from?
It was a gut feeling. I often, you know, we notice trends, right? We notice things that people start talking about. And when Instagram changed their algorithm, people went bananas. Mm-hmm. And just to kind of build off of what you said, like, you know, you don't have to do everything. That's one thing that I tell people, like, choose one or two, you know, between two and three social media platforms, and then have a newsletter strategy, right? Or like have a blog. Like, you need to own something. And yeah, you don't have to do everything. So I started to notice like people went bananas when the Instagram algorithm changed, like cuckoo. Yeah. Like all of a sudden people are, you know, oh, we're joining Elo now. And I'm just like, okay, listen, like you've got to ask the right questions in business.
You almost made me spit out my water, Megan. I remember Elo and I remember that conversation and I was just thinking, no, this is not going to happen.
Yeah. Cause people don't understand. It's like, well, if you go to Elo, like who's going to be there?
Exactly. You know? Like,
so yeah. That's another thing I really try to focus on is like asking the right questions, you know, like because I think that people tend to focus on things that they can manage, right? Like as humans, we have this lizard brain that's like, okay, what can I fix right now?
Yeah.
You know, or like you start to deal with your insecurities, you know, you like kind of lean on those as opposed to like getting outside your comfort zone, right? Or you know what I'm trying to say, where it's just like people just do like the least common denominator, like what can they fix?
Absolutely.
And with Instagram, it's like, oh, well, we're going to move to another platform. And so, you know, I get it. Like people just don't think about this stuff like we do, you know, that like, great, you can move to that platform, but the same thing is going to happen. So why not start to really build your list? Why not start to, you know, cultivate like an audience that you can take with you wherever you go? So one of the things that I've learned in business is to never launch without testing a product.
Yeah.
So what I did was last spring, it was the spring of 2016. I do this often with workshops. I'll do live workshops where I charge like $45, $50. And it's like a 90-minute workshop. And so I did that for creating a newsletter. And people, it was really successful. So I thought, okay, I need to make this as like a standalone course.
Yeah.
So I basically took that 90-minute workshop and really built it out.
Cool. So, very cool. Yeah. The validation aspect is super important. It's something that I share all the time. And, you know, it's another thing that I know frightens a lot of people, but it's going to save you a whole bunch of heartache in the long run.
Yeah.
If you validate and make sure that people will put money down for your course topic. So
yeah, building a course is so intense.
It is intense. You're dropping. I'm just gonna be quiet and let you speak for the rest of the interview. You're just like dropping so much science right now. Okay, so was this your first course?
No. So I created, I have one other course. It's sort of my major course, which I launch 4 times a year. So the anatomy of a newsletter, anybody can sign up every single day. You know what I mean? It's always there. But I have a big course called Create a Social Media Strategy You Love. Mm-hmm. I'm actually in the process of changing the name because it's not just about social media. It's really about branding online. It's very digital strategy oriented.
Right.
It's about, you know, creating your voice and tone, figuring out who your ideal customer follower is. And I launch that 4 times a year. And I launch that 4 times a year because it's really important for me. We were talking about this before we started interviewing. It's really important for me to actually educate and teach people. So there's some different components to that course. So I have live coaching calls. I have a Facebook group where I'm in there chatting, you know, answering questions. I do have a Facebook group for the newsletter course, but it's much more quieter. Whereas, with CHASMS, that's the acronym for Create a Social Media Strategy You Love. You know, there's tons of different people in that group that have been taking it. I launched Anatomy of a Newsletter in the fall of 2016, and I launched CHASMS in spring of 2016.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
And I have plenty to share about like what not to do.
Yeah, we're definitely going to get into that. Before we do, though, I noticed that you offered services as well.
Mm-hmm.
How has creating courses changed your business?
Okay, so this I love. I love that we're going to get into this. So I, like everybody else in 2015, got on the whole like, I'm going to do course bandwagon, you know, I'm gonna do courses, and I'm going to stop one-on-one. And so that was my plan last spring, and I burned myself way out on the course. Like I just really went for it. It's a really in-depth course and just worked super hard on it. And then told, you know, my list, told everybody I'm no longer doing one-on-one. And then by fall, I realized like I really missed. So my plan was to just do courses.
Yeah.
And so one of the things, just to backtrack a little bit, one of the things that I realized is many people sign up for courses and they don't engage.
Yeah.
So they just throw money at a problem. And so that's one of the reasons why Chasms is set up the way that it is, because I really want to educate and teach. Like, it is really important for me, if I'm going to sell you a $500 product, that like you get access to me, that you're learning. Obviously I can't control everybody. So there are people that buy the course and don't do it. So, you know, I announced to my newsletter list that I wasn't going to be doing one-on-one and this is the way to work with me. And I just realized, like, even though I love the course model, like I really need that one-on-one for that feedback loop for me as an individual. So right now I just offer one, one service. It's a 1 hour, it's a package. You get to hang out with me for 1 hour. It's, you know, basically business and social media strategy, marketing strategy. And I look at everything that's going on in your business. I give you a questionnaire and then we hang out. And that's important to me because I feed off of that. Like, you know, hanging out with small businesses, helping them. I get to do research. So I bring new stuff to the table. Whereas I found last spring and summer, when I thought I was just going to be doing courses, I was kind of almost becoming complacent. Mm. Like the courses were in place. So like, I didn't really need to do any research anymore. Right. And so, and that actually brings me to, I'm launching a group coaching session this year because of that. Because I just want to work with people, you know, I want to teach people, I want to educate people. It's important to me that people get something from what I do. And I find that the course, for me personally, there needs to be more components with courses. Yeah. So that's why I offer the one-on-one. That's why I'm going to do group coaching. It's just easier for me. It makes me feel better about my business. It makes me, you know, like we do this, right? Because we love what we do. And I found all of a sudden I had taken out something that I actually really love doing.
Absolutely. I think that I love this. I love, and this is why, you know, when we were chatting earlier, I said, I'm very intentional about who comes on the show. And I love the place that we're in with courses right now, because you're starting to see, you know, things separate. And you very clearly have a group of people who absolutely love teaching and are in it to help their audience learn.
Yeah.
And you have a group of people who aren't so much, who just want the passive income.
Right.
And, you know, no judgment there, but I'm in the first category and I like to share and talk with people who are in that first category. And I think that people who are buying courses are gravitating towards that first category as well. So I'm glad you're there. I'm glad you're there.
Yeah, me too. I mean, it feels good, you know, like it's really important to me. You know, that's just something, like, there's just been a lot of soul searching in the past year for me. Yeah. And that has been one thing that I've really discovered, that I'm like, okay, like I'm not going to be a 7-figure course, launcher. Like that's just not my style, you know? And like you said, like no judgment for those that it is. And sure, I'd love to make that kind of money, but, the way in which I'm working is just, it just works for me. Like I need to have the one-on-one. I need, cause I know a lot of people launch courses because they really want to let go of the one-on-one. Yeah. You know, it's a lot of energy and you can't really scale that kind of business. So for me, I need a few different components in my business to keep me going and keep me happy.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I just read recently an article that talked about actually doing things that don't scale. If you're trying to create a business that has an impact and that matters and changes people's lives, mm-hmm. you have to have interactions with your audience in order to create things that are going to affect change for them.
Right.
And that's the part. It's so funny because I've talked to so many smart women about this. Tara Gentile, Hallie Gray, now you.
Oh, Tara. So Tara is actually my business coach.
Ah, yeah. She's amazing. And we had you know, a similar conversation is that I'm the queen of tough love. There's no way to not do the work. You have to connect with your audience. You have to listen to them. You have to find out what's important to them, where the problems are. And services are a great way to do that. In fact, it's going to make your life as a course creator easier. So I'm off my soapbox, but I'm just so glad to see this pattern recurring. It makes me feel hopeful for the courses, this next wave of courses.
Well, yeah, and I think with any sort of like trend, there's always kind of like a bit of a backlash, right? And so one of the things that I saw was just like people were kind of course fatigued, yeah. You know, because they knew that they would buy it and that they wouldn't do it. And I think that that's something we're seeing now in 2017. So we as marketers, we as small businesses, entrepreneurs, like we have to find a new way to continue to serve our audience in a way that's going to help them. Yeah. And yeah, it's important to me.
Absolutely. I can tell. So let's dig into your course more as far as the content. Now, first thing, let's start with the goal. What should your students be able to do after completing your course?
So by the time they're done with the course, they will have a foundation, an understanding of what their newsletter strategy is for their business, why they're sending it. So one of the things we talk about in the very beginning of the course is really defining your goals. So when you send a newsletter, there should be a goal behind it. You know, there could be a couple goals behind it. So I outline that, you know, like, are you driving traffic back to your blog? Or, you know, you should be obviously ramping up to make sales. Also, you know, just building relationships. So there's a lot of different things that can go on. So there's that. I think one of the biggest things that people really get is the permission to start sending their newsletter. Yeah. I can't tell you how often I speak to people where they send a newsletter once a year or four times a year. And so there's a lot of education around, I mean, if you are a product-based business, you need to be sending it at least two times a month. You know, so bi-weekly, because I know some of the small businesses, more than that is like too uncomfortable for them. Yeah. And I get it, but I really try to ease them into like, you need to be in front of your audience, and it is not annoying for you to send them a newsletter. And that's another thing I talk about in the course is unsubscribes. So one of the things that we're really up against in social media is people talk about like having tons of followers, tons of engagement, mm-hmm. You know. You don't want to have a massive list. You really don't. You don't want to. I mean, well, let me back that up. Let me just break it down. Like you don't want to have an inflated list. So you really want to have a list that is engaged, warm, that's yeah. opening your emails. So that's one of the things I talk about, that like when you lose unsubscribers, great.
Yeah.
You know, like the kids say, bye, Felicia. Like, you know, like. You don't want to be paying for dead weight. It's not like social media. Sure, the social proof, maybe you do want to have tens of thousands of followers because you have that lizard brain social proof that people think means something when, you know, we know it doesn't if your business isn't succeeding. Yeah. Whereas with a newsletter, a list, you could have 400 people on your list and it could be, you know, you could be bringing in the sales. I mean, I just did something recently where I sort of changed the trajectory of my business a little bit. So I used to work with artists and makers, and I'm really moving away from that. I'm more moving towards like women like us, like professional women, you know, entrepreneurs, small product-based businesses. And so one of the things that I did was I basically sent out an email to the people that were like the coldest people on my list, basically, like people that had never purchased anything, had never, you know, had never signed up for a webinar, had never downloaded something. And I basically said to them, hey, I'm cleaning my list. And I do want to preface this with nobody should do this. Like, I know what I'm doing. Like, I want to be really careful about talking about cleaning your list, because you can really damage your list. But basically, long story short, I basically told 1,000 people on my list, like, hey, I totally get it. You know, like, if you aren't into what I'm selling, great. Like, if you are, click here. And so I basically cleaned half my list. And I did that because I really wanted the most engaged people on my list.
Yep.
So I talk about that because, and like I said, I just want to underline, like, you shouldn't do that if you don't know what you're doing. Like, you can really damage your list if you quote unquote clean it. And that's not something I even talk about in the course, because, you know, it can do damage. So that's one of the things when people leave the course, they start to understand that they don't need to have thousands of followers on their list and that unsubscribes are actually good. You know, I mean, I do talk about like, if you're getting, you know, an inordinate amount of unsubscribes, you might want to think about what your messaging is. Right, but right. For the most part, that is, it's healthy. And I think that when people come from social media, it's just a very different change in perspective, you know, where you go from trying to get all these followers, all these likes to, you know, just getting a list of people that really want to engage in your stuff. It's kind of like this almost whiplash for people.
Yeah. Engagement is really what matters when it comes to email. And I do the same thing, you know, the cleaning or I don't necessarily call it cleaning, but I do reach out to cold subscribers, you know, two or three times a year and say, hey, you haven't opened anything in 6 months.
Yep.
You know, if this isn't for you, you can unsubscribe. I actually make it easy. I say, you don't have to do a thing. I'll unsubscribe you in a week. If you want to stay, click here. And
yep,
it works
exactly
really well.
What I did.
Yeah, it works really well. And it's something that, like you said, wait until you understand email marketing and you know what you're doing. But the point is, you don't need to have a list of 20,000 people in order to, you know, if you have a list of 20,000 people, if that's what you need, then that probably means that your content is a little bit watered down and you need that many people to make a certain amount of sales.
Right. And the chance, you know, there's been tons of research done on when you're selling on your list, only about 2% of the people are going to buy.
Yeah.
So, you know, it levels out. Yeah. It totally levels out. So it really depends, you know, like you're saying, you've spoken to Tara Gentile, like she talks a lot about this. I know she's been talking a lot about like lists and how, you know, you don't need hundreds of thousands of people to be a successful business. You just don't.
Yeah.
And that's something like in our culture that is like rammed down people's throats. And that's another thing I'm constantly working with people is sort of like undoing that brainwashing, you know, that like you can have a really successful business and just have like a couple hundred followers on social media. Like you don't need that social proof.
Yeah. Engagement is key. So that's the takeaway, folks. Engagement is more important than the numbers. So the number one question I get is where to start when it comes to creating an online course. So where did you start, Megan? How did you approach the process of developing a course? Because earlier you said it's a lot and it can be intense. So how did you take it on?
Well, so what I've learned and, you know, what you hear a lot of people say is you really want to narrow in on your audience's pain points. Like what are you hearing a lot of? Like what are the questions you get over and over again. So for me, when I created Chasms, my big course, what I did was I basically took my one-on-one. So I used to have a service, which was one-on-one and it was three meetings. And it took people through sort of a process of defining who they are. And so I just took that and I turned it into a course and I just really did a deep dive. So what would happen for me in those sessions was, you know, I could offer three sessions for somebody for like $1,500. Mm-hmm. But like there was only so much we could do in those three sessions, right? And so I wanted to take a course where I created something where I could just deep dive into almost everything, you know? So like within the course, I don't even really talk about the platforms. I have cheat sheets that give you like, you know, how to best practices on the course, but I really talk about creating a strategy. And when I would meet with people, there are things that we would miss or they'd have different pain points. So I really wanted to create a course that sort of addressed everything. And that's where I really like almost killed myself. So, you know, one of the things that I've done is I've now had the course running for a year. So I edit it. Every time I launch it, I refine it and I take things out or I add things. And I found that one of the things that's been really helpful is having those live coaching calls where I can leave things a little sort of surface in the course and then really dive deep into them in the live coaching.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah.
Got it. Now, what were some of the biggest challenges you had? I know you talked about narrowing things down, but when it came time to just like writing out the content and doing the videos and all that stuff, what were the things that you kept getting hung up on?
Okay, so I think that I'm definitely not alone in thinking this. I definitely really focused on like how many videos, how many worksheets. And one of the things I've learned, you know, as I've started to create courses and done workshops is like, you don't, if you're delivering value, you can deliver, and Tara Gentile talks about this, you can deliver a lot of value with less work. So sometimes people will think like, oh, you know, this course has 18 videos and 27 worksheets. And like, you can actually make a course super strong and robust with like 6 videos and a couple worksheets. You know, you just have to like really narrow in on stuff. I think that in online businesses and content creation, there's a lot of bloat out there. And because we love what we do, we tend to over deliver. And so I think that I've definitely done that in some of my courses and I've refined them. You know, I constantly am editing them like 3 or 4 times. It's been a year and I've edited it about 3 times. Yeah. And I've seen like a lot of bloat there. Like, okay, I don't really need this here. You know, nobody cares about this. So I think that that's one thing that I would say to people is like, try to build a course that really offers a lot of value and really gets your message and your, like what you're educating on across without creating, you know, double the amount of videos.
Yeah.
Cause I think what happens is people think that the buyers will be like, oh, there's only 6 videos in here, so it's not worth it. And that's just not true.
No, it's not. In fact, I think it's more important to be able to convey what the results that people will get.
Yes.
That's what people are looking for, you know. And, yeah. And I would even argue to say that if people are looking for, you know, there's people who just want to they're information junkies. Like, you don't want the information junkies, the ones who want like the most videos and the most worksheets. You really want people who are focused on the results. So if you can communicate the results and how you're going to get people there, then that is going to get you some sales.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk about learning, because earlier, you know, you mentioned that that's really important to you. How do you measure learning in your course? How do you know people are getting it?
That's a really good question. I think the way in which I know it is that people from past sessions are still involved in the group. They're still coming back for more value. They're still, you know, when I launched, like for instance, when I launched the winter session, a bunch of people from the fall session were like, can I get in on the emails? You know? Yeah. And that's a really important component of my course, that once you sign up, you are in, you know, you are part of the community. You can get in on the sessions every single time they launch. And so that's the something to me, is that people want to continue to learn, that they know that I offer value. So they want to keep showing up for that. When people disappear, that's when I'm worried.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay. Now, we're going to talk about Coach, because I noticed that you're using Coach. Why did you choose Coach? I'm just, you know, curious. I'm a fan of Coach, but I just want to put it out there for folks listening.
So I was on Teachable. I took a course when I wanted to learn how to do, you know, courses. I didn't really know what to do. I had run my own course in 2013, and I did it through MailChimp and on Mighty Bell, which is now Mighty Networks. Mm-hmm. And it was good. It was good for what it was, but I wanted to learn how to do it better. You know, I was sort of, in 2013, I was like cobbling together all these different things. And so I wanted to just pay to learn. So I took Mariah Cause's Launch Your Signature course. Mm-hmm. And with that, you got three free months of Teachable. So I joined Teachable in 2016 and it worked, but then they exploded. They got really big and I don't want to diss Teachable in any way. This happens with every single platform that starts to get big. Bugs happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, they actually just talked to somebody at Teachable a few weeks ago about this. When I launched Anatomy, a newsletter in the fall, I think it was in October, one of the like selling points was we would, even though it was a standalone course, that weekend would be like free for all. Like I would be in the group. We would, have a live coaching session. So a lot of people signed up for it to kind of like take the course for that weekend, right? Because you'd get it done in a weekend. Teachable, just, it was just crazy buggy. And I basically had to pause the course and ask people to bear with me. And it was wonderful. It showed me how supportive my audience is because nobody asked for their money back. And I think it was like 50 people that had signed up. Yes. So I was so stressed. And I'd dealt with a couple bugs on Teachable before. But anyway, long story short, I just posted on Twitter that I was having a hard time. And I was thinking about maybe trying to find another platform because at that time, and Teachable, I think, will be honest about this because I spoke to somebody in their company a few weeks ago about this. That particular weekend was like a really rough weekend for them. They learned a lot. They didn't have a lot of support. And I just bounced. I was like, I can't. I just lost so much money. Like, because then I had to turn the course off so nobody could buy it.
Yeah.
So, and because I couldn't upload content. And so it was just kind of like a perfect storm. And I know that Teachable has like worked really hard to change things. And they now have a lot of like in-house support. And I know that they do a great job. And I recommend them to a lot of different people for specific, you know, for specific needs. But what happened with Coach was I was on Twitter and this artist that I know said, you know, I use with Coach, you should check them out. And the founder, Spencer, reached out to me and he was just really great. And I got on Coach and there were just a lot of things I really liked about it. And I am a sucker for really good customer service. So, you know, so like I said, it was just like this kind of perfect storm where Teachable was just kind of growing really quickly and Coach was really hands-on. Mm-hmm. And so they just kind of ushered me into their platform in a way that like really helped me. I got my content up in like 2 weeks, was able to launch again. And Spencer's just been really open with me about like their roadmap, like what they're building. They're super open to feedback. There was like this crazy bug with my domain. You know, it was like courses dot, you know, Megan O'Toole, and there was this issue, and one of their devs spent like an entire day on it fixing it. So they're just, I really like what they do. I believe in them. I think there are a lot of great platforms out there, but Coach is, you know, what's right for me.
The customer service with Coach is amazing. And
yeah,
you know, it's no secret. Anyone listening who's been to my site, I recommend Coach highly. And it has nothing to do with them having the most features because they don't.
Right. They're definitely lacking in some features, but they are on the roadmap. And exactly. That's one of the things
they're on the roadmap. I talked to Spencer like three or four times a week. He's a great guy. So I feel like you, I feel very comfortable telling people about Coach because I know they'll be taken care of.
Yeah. And I also really like, I really believe in relationships in business, and Spencer has been nothing but supportive. And, you know, I feel like it's very, when you want to have a successful business, there's got to be a lot of reciprocity there. And so I love to tell people about Coach because they're just, I don't know. I also really like their design. Like, you just get the content up so people can start learning. Whereas I feel like with some of the other courses, there's a lot of like bells and whistles going on. And so there's a lot of like, when you upload your course, there's a lot of front loading you have to do. Whereas with Coach, it just feels a lot easier to get it up. It's quick, it's easy. So
cool. All right. Before people start thinking this is an advertisement for Coach.
Yeah.
Let's switch gears and for a second and talk about some of the comments on your about page. And we kind of already got into this, but then we paused. Your tone on your website is very straightforward. I love it. It's very East Coast, even though I know you love San Francisco. For instance, you talk about not being a fan of get rich quick schemes or growth hacking. Why was it important for you to draw that line?
I mean, again, it's from my clients and my students' pain points, you know, because they've all been there. They've all tried to get, you know, sign up for these courses that tell them that they're going to get this or they're going to get this number, and it doesn't work for them. And, you know, I just don't believe in that cookie cutter marketing mentality. I've seen it, you know, I've done stuff where I feel like, oh, I'm going to get this and it doesn't work for me. So just, it's out of experience.
Yeah.
And also, I just feel like in our culture, in the online world, there are all these crazy expectations that just aren't real. And then what I see is it ends up hurting people's businesses because they start to feel like they're not good enough or their business isn't worth it. And it's like, no, you just have to adjust your expectations. You're comparing apples and oranges, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
So I just like to be straightforward about that. Social media takes work. Marketing takes work. Building a business takes work. You know, like the old age old adage, like if it was easy, everybody would do it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Megan, since you're up to date with everything internet, give me one trend that you absolutely love and you want more people to do, and one trend that you want people to stop doing.
All right. Well, I'm going to choose two trends. I'm sorry. Okay. The one is obviously, I think everybody that has an online business needs to have a newsletter strategy.
Gotcha.
You have, that is something that you really need. That's something you should be building. That should be part of your long game. As in terms of like online marketing, one of the things that I really see people sort of missing the boat on is Pinterest. I think Pinterest is a really great place for small businesses. Mm. It's kind of the last unknown around social media. I was just on Kate of Simple Pin, her podcast, Simple Pin Media. And we talked about this, that a lot of people don't understand that you can market on Pinterest. And one of the things that's really exciting about Pinterest is people want to be marketed to there.
Yeah.
So if you are a product-based business or you're a service-based business, and you're online, you should definitely be looking into Pinterest because people want to be sold to there. They go there to discover things. They go there to be better people, to learn about stuff. Whereas, you know, Instagram, people are so precious on there. Like if you, you know, try to sell something, you lose followers right away. And Pinterest actually says this in their marketing that like people are open to marketing there. And I think it's really a great place for many different types of business. And another thing that's really excellent about Pinterest is, unlike Twitter and Facebook, you know, you post something, it gets lost forever. Whereas Pinterest is like the social media platform that keeps on giving. You can put a pin up and it can have, you know, a lifetime of like years where it keeps getting repinned. People keep discovering your content. So I think that Pinterest is really a great place to explore.
Hmm. Okay. You've convinced me. I'm going to try it. If it means not having to be on Facebook, then I'll do it.
Well, one thing I always say is like, you know, check your stats, like see what your analytics are telling you. But, you know, I will tell you that in 2015, I didn't think Pinterest was like the right place for me. And then I saw people in my industry killing it on there. And so now it's the number one social driver for me.
Okay, cool.
As in terms of the thing not to do.
Yep.
Oof, so much.
You only get two, Megan.
The one thing not to do is don't get caught up in vanity metrics. Mm-hmm. Like that's the one thing I really try to impress on small businesses that are either starting out on social media or been on social media for a few years. Like likes and followers really don't mean anything if they're not converting for you or you're not growing. That's the one thing I would say. Like it's really easy to obsess over those numbers and check in every day. Don't do it. It's a waste of time. And, you know, really just focus on getting the best content out there and building those relationships.
Got it. Cool. All right. Well, we are down to the final three questions. The first one is, what's next for you? Anything exciting coming up?
Yes. So I'm going to be launching a group coaching service twice a year. So basically, you know, I've been working with Tara Gentile, who is amazing. Anybody who is an online marketer, small business, you know, B2B, check out Tara Gentile. She has a new community called Co-Commercial. And I took a course with her recently, and she talks about three pillars. And so I've been basically narrowing in on the three pillars of my business. So those will be my big course, my one-on-one and then my group coaching.
Okay.
So that's really exciting for me. It's just kind of refining my business, refocusing on who I'm working with. So I'm excited about that.
Very cool. All right. Well, I can't wait to hear more about it. And the second question is, where can people find out more about you?
Oh, my website, meganotool.com. That's probably the best place. Yeah. You can find my newsletter. You can find my Facebook group, me on Twitter, all the stuff is there.
Okay. Perfect. All right. Last question, Megan, what's your why? Why do you get up and do this work every day?
Oh, such a good question. I want to help people. I specifically want to help empower women to feel, to follow what they want to do, to help them build their business. I mean, that is it for me. That's why I get up every morning, is to help other people. That's where I find my own purpose, my own community. And it's really just empowering people to believe in themselves and really pursue something that they want to create.
Megan, this has been an amazing interview. Thank you so much for...
It was so much fun.
It was so much fun. Thank you. I know that everyone is going to get a ton of value from this. So thank you for coming on and sharing your expertise with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right. I have to say that I had an amazing time talking with Megan. Thank you so much, Megan, for coming on the show and sharing your wisdom with everyone and just being open about your experiences as an entrepreneur. I know it was super valuable for me to listen. So I'm sure that everyone enjoyed it. Thank you once again. If you are listening and you're wondering how you can get in touch with Megan or find out more about what she has to offer, you can find all of the links to her site and her course on the show notes page. And you can find that at zencourses.co/055 for episode 55. One more time, that is zencourses.co, not .com/055 to check out the show notes. Okay, coming up next week, I'm super excited to share my interview with Jared Drysdell. He is a graphic designer, just an amazing all-around guy, and he has a course called Theory Sprints. We're gonna chat about that. Can't wait to share it with you, so definitely tune in next week. All right, it is that time. My name is Janelle Allen, and this has been The Zen Courses Show. Thank you so much for lending me your ears for one more episode. I will see you next time.